Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, I was sad and then I loved you and it took my breath.
Here we are, Studio B, Monroeville, Bowser Chevrolet, Paul Zeiss, and the savvy old news hound. Don't we sound great on these mics?
Yes, I love these mics.
I love this place. I'm still angry. I'm still angry. I'm angrier than I was yesterday about this Jared Jones thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait,
I'm sorry. Did I dispense something with the formalities here?
Did I do something here?
What are we doing? What are we doing? This kid Tanner, and he's 27. Excuse me. Tanner Huck, Red Sox. Complete game yesterday. Oh, my God. What a big risk that was. 96 pitches or 94. 4 days rest, normal rest, three hits, no runs. Like I said, he's 27 years old. He's never gone more than 114 innings in a season, so they used up 9 of them. They must be very scared about what he's going to do in September. Well, they took a guy out of a historically epic start. Paul, there's people who are saying by some metrics, including 50 of 59 strikes,
right,
it was one of the greatest starts in Major League history. They took him out of the game. I'm still reeling from this 2 days later.
I think what Zangrilli said, was it Zangrilli who said, going back to when they tracked, in 2000, when they started tracking strikes, and it was the first time a pitcher had thrown less than 60 pitches and had more than 50 strikes or whatever, 50 or more strikes.
He was one play away from carrying a perfect game. It was literally a perfect pitching performance. And they took him out after 59. So let me get back to the thinking. What I imagine the thinking was here, we're going to take him out after 59 because if he got to 67 or 73, one of those big starts in August might be compromised. Am I right about that?
That's the rationale. But it wasn't. They didn't take him out because of 59. They took him out because it was the end of the fifth.
I forgot. Yeah, the 5 innings.
And that is where I drew the line.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I know this probably puts me a little bit in the firing line. I don't mind them being cautious with pitchers at early in their career like this, but this is not the way to do it.
I agree with you there.
Not at all.
Skip a start then. Skip a start because we don't want to be subjected to a perfect, historically great start.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we're going to show you this movie, and then in the middle of it, we're just going to cut the film.
But do you even have to skip a start? You could do things like insert, I think they're going to call Quinn Priest. It seems like that's the guy that's coming up, right, for tomorrow because Gonzalez.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like that's who's going to be. I mean, everybody's holding out hope that it's going to be Skeens.
No, it can't be Skeens. He's on a pitch count. He's on an inning count. We don't want to have him up here.
His first game
will go 33 pitches and pitch a no-hitter.
Right.
And they'll take him out.
But if you build it around a day off.
Yes.
Like tomorrow's a day off, right? Today's a day
off.
Go
to a 6-man rotation then.
Or what? You could do that maybe for one time through or two times through, and then all of a sudden Jared Jones goes from maybe possibly having 28 starts to having 26. There's a lot of ways you can do it without these arbitrary 5 innings in this game, no matter what happens. You know, because my thing is, we talked about yesterday. So if he would have thrown 15 strikeouts, you were going to take him out of the game.
Right. 30 pitches. Yeah. Couldn't somebody have raised their hand when they were saying this is going to be five innings no matter what? Everybody agree? Somebody in the back. What if he has, like, I don't know, 50 pitches through five innings? Could he go six then?
Here's the thing, Joe, that sometimes, you know, you and I are old fogies a little bit. And this is just sort of the way baseball is nowadays.
I'm not buying that. First of all, we're not old fogies. We're the same age as Sully. We're the same. We're not that much older than Dan Hurley.
We're in our
sports prime. And this is not an old fogey versus analytics argument. Because I've had people in the analytics community say, what the hell is this?
But my point is, this is how all of these young, newer general managers and, you know, the whiz kids, the math guys, this is how they are wired. So my thing is, in that room, say there was eight of them in that room, there probably wasn't anybody in there that pushed back and said, well, we shouldn't do this.
Clearly. Like, what if he goes three pitches an inning and gets a ground out on each and has 15 pitches through five innings?
Like, to me,
can he go six then?
Like, to me, I liken it back to, you know, guys like Verlander, A.J. Burnett. Could you imagine Shelty walking out to the mound at the end of the fifth inning or whatever with
A.J. Burnett would have started a fire
in
the dugout.
A.J. Burnett would have told him to go back.
Right. He told Hurdle that.
Yes.
Remember when Hurdle wanted to take him out of a game, all Hurdle did was look at the bullpen, and A.J. Burnett started yelling at him from the mound.
Yes. So my point is, we are in a situation where I like those older guys or those older pitchers or whatever you want to call them who wanted the ball. They didn't, and I imagine a guy like Jared Jones, you know, probably is a guy that wants the ball. He's young. Maybe two or three years from now, if they tried to pull some of this stuff, he would be like, no, we're not.
Here's the thing. I wanted to ask you about this today. I'm glad you brought it up. There's no way Jared Jones feels the way he spoke the other day. And we've all now been conditioned. We've seen Jared Jones.
Right.
He wants to fight people
every
at bat. He said after the game, it was predetermined I was going five innings. Do you want to see me down the road or do you want to see me get shut down? That's what I think of it. And actually, as I read that quote out loud, that's not him saying, yeah, this was a great decision.
No.
That was him sort of coming to this idea that they're going to shut me down later if I hit a certain inning.
And that's exactly how I read the quote, Joe. When I saw that quote, there were some people who were trying to make it out that he was saying, oh, I'm in agreement with what they're doing.
Right.
And I read the quote four times. And every time I read it, I come back more convinced that he didn't like the decision, that he didn't want the decision.
Well, he added, it's awesome that they're looking out for me and my health. It's a good thing to see.
Yeah.
The fact that we've reached the place where the pitcher, even just for public consumption, says that this is a bad place to be.
It is.
Because they're, like you said yesterday, they're already going to ridiculous lengths to protect these guys.
Yes.
And it's not working. It's pro sports. We had the same problem, an even bigger one, with quarterbacks in football.
Right.
This is pro sports.
Guys, you're going to get hurt.
Guys get injured.
And the thing about it is when you read what he had to say, he's basically saying, I mean, I really don't have a choice here.
They're only going to let
me pitch X amount of innings this season. I'd rather have them come later down the road, to which I would argue, but you had a chance here to maybe go two or three more innings.
At least one.
Get a nice win and, you know, continue to build on your resume.
Strasburg's a great example.
Right.
They did everything
possible. They
held him out of the playoffs,
yes.
I think, one year. But he still got hurt, and in the end, he helped them win a World Series. The one year is healthy. So if you tell me that Skeens or Jones is going to have Strasburg's career, I'm okay with it. There's only so much you can do here.
Right.
He's down to 59 pitches. I mean, the ultimate will be, you know what? We're just not going to use Skeens. We're going to preserve him for his whole career by never pitching him.
Strasburg, though, is a great example. Because you're right. They handled him with kid gloves. They did all the things you're supposed to do. They held him out. They skipped starts. They shut him down a couple of years. They did everything you're supposed to do, and guess what? His career is pretty much over. I mean,
and was riddled with injury.
Yes.
You know, these preventative measures are nothing new. This has been happening for the whole 21st century here, and we're in what some people call an epidemic.
Right.
So I ask you, is any of it working? And is the answer to go to more extreme measures, like pulling a guy from a start in which he's thrown 59 pitches and 50 for strikes, where he could clearly go another inning or two, and then tell me the risk? Is it real? Is that really going to preserve a start in August? Him throwing, it just defies logic.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, Joe, that I think you should also, and we talked about this yesterday.
I'm going to rail against this, Paul.
I know you are.
You and I and the rest of us, young and old, yes, are not going quietly on this one.
My question to that is, if he had only, say he had a couple of one pitch outs and a couple real quick innings, and he only pitched 40 pitches, would they still have shut him down?
Yes, it was going to be five
innings.
Because
it was five innings?
Yeah.
So it makes no sense.
But on the other end, you better believe if he had thrown, 87 pitches and had given up three or four runs through four, they would have pulled him. So why doesn't it work on the other end of that? If you're willing to be malleable based on him having a bad start where he's inefficient, why can't you be that way and adjust if he's having a historically efficient start? Like, and this is no exaggeration, the most efficient start in the history of Major League Baseball.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know that Cy Young ever had one like this.
Well, again, they probably didn't have Stat Tracker back when Cy Young was pitching, but I think the biggest
thing... Did you know that he won five Cy Young awards?
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
He also won, 511 games?
Yeah, he did. All of them complete games.
Yeah, that is... By the way, when we talk about unbreakable records and people talk about a whole bunch of things... How about 511 pitching wins?
Yeah.
That will never become, no one will ever come close to that.
What does Cy Young do if someone goes out after 59 pitches? Pull out a shotgun?
Back in the day, who knows? Maybe.
He was just getting warmed up at 59.
And back then, they were probably like, hey, listen, my arm's a little bit sore, but let me go have a little bit of whiskey in the dugout, and I'll be fine. I'll just go back out and pitch.
Did you know that Ron got the only one-on-one interview with him?
With who?
Cy Young. What are you saying? Paul. Yes. I stayed up last night, getting angrier at this, and I'm angry at Crowley and Dickerson for defending it too.
Yeah.
I'm angry at everyone who's defending this.
Yes. Well, being angry at Crowley and Dickerson's a good thing anyway. So, I mean, that's easy to do.
I know.
We could do it on a daily basis. But I'm not defending it, but I'm just saying it's sort of how baseball is nowadays.
I know.
That's the problem.
We can't give up. Yes. We can't give up the ship here.
We got to keep fighting. But here's the thing. When you see... some of these teams, that have old school managers, or better yet, they still have and employ lots of old school baseball scouts, which those guys are becoming more and more rare. And when you see that they've had a little bit of success, then you say to yourself, okay, maybe the pendulum swings back a little bit, but I don't think so. I think it's going, 110 miles an hour in the same direction it's been going, which is...
Yeah, and it's not working. That again is the moral of the story.
Did you ever see the movie Trouble with the Curve? I think I've talked about this movie. Have you seen it?
No.
Clint Eastwood is a baseball scout. He's like 80-year-old guy who's been scouting baseball forever, who's like really knows the game. I mean, his eyes are going and, but there's a little bit, I mean, it's obviously there's a love story involved in it and everything else, but the reality is, The struggle between him and the newfangled, young, analytic guy, general manager, that goes on probably in every clubhouse or every front office in baseball nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch that movie, he wants one guy, the analytics guy who's never actually seen these guys, but he looks at all the numbers, wants a different guy.
But I don't want to frame myself as an anti-analytics guy, because it's not
about that, but what I'm saying is, that struggle, the balance between those That is going on in every single front office. Is okay, we have the old school methods, which are not all antiquated and outdated. We have the new school methods, which are not all 100% perfect. So how do we mesh the two?
You leave a guy in at 59 pitches.
Again,
to at least throw 15 more.
I would agree with that, but what I'm saying to you is, if you're asking me, do I think that there were people in the organization who probably said, nah, this is not a good idea, this is not right? Yeah, there probably are a few of those people. But did they have a seat at the table in the decision-making process? Probably not.
And certainly Shelty, again, had 0% with this, but it was such a I've never seen, like, new age analytics or whatever you want to call this manifest itself in that kind of fashion. It was an all-timer.
Well,
and in a way, it's frightening. It's frightening. Like where do we go from here?
But if you remember going back to Neil Huntington, do you remember when they had their rest program and people were all up in arms because they actually measured how many innings on your feet? Do you remember that? Innings?
They measured how many steps you took when you got to the ballpark for the end of your day.
Yes, steps. Innings on your feet, hours on your feet. They measured like stress level, like, okay, these are running steps. So these ones count more than, you know, if you're just walking, all those things. And a lot of times it led to, you know, just lunacy when it comes to some lineups and when it comes, you know, certain guys being shut down. Or
he ran 1,000 simulated games and told him Tyke Redmond should be the three hitter. And then it happened.
Yes.
Maybe that was the first sign.
No, I'm just saying that.
I'm telling you, this is getting worse, not better. And it's not doing any good for pitchers.
But
it's just not doing any good. Make them all relievers. Make them all relievers who can pitch an inning a day.
Right.
Then you can start with a, quote, rotation of Skeens, Chandler, Priester, Jones, and Solomato, and they can all piggyback every day and go an inning.
How about everybody goes one inning a day?
Right, an inning a day.
Nine pitchers every day.
We'll preserve them till they're 96. They'll be out there pitching one inning.
I think the thing about it is, you know, was it Tampa a few years ago that did that where they had the...
The bullpen game.
The bullpenning and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Every baseball person in America that works for a team, that has worked for a team for a long time, that's been a manager, that's been a hitting instructor, has been in the minors, whatever, every single one would tell you they'd rather have five guys who can go seven or eight innings than try to do it that way. And what you found out with that is, no matter how good your bullpenning is, you end up wearing out a lot of arms at the end of the year. It's hard to win that way. You know, and everyone points to Tampa, to which I always say, well, yeah, they're about the only team that has ever pulled that off. But there are still these guys, these analytics-driven guys, who believe that bullpenning is the way to go, that maybe we should, you know, get rid of the starter model and get rid of the, you know, these guys that we call workhorses and just make them all...
No, we're on our way to that.
Yeah, you know, make them all 2- and 3-inning guys. To me... I always say this, and you know, I've talked to enough older baseball scouts, right? Generally, your starter is your best pitcher. Your starter and your closer, but generally your starter. So do I want 3 innings of Skeens and then 3 innings of whoever else, or do I want 6 or 7 innings of Skeens? You obviously want 6 or 7 innings of Skeens and leave the other guy on the bench. So it is almost a situation of where it is completely irrational to believe that we're just going to go 100% to this bullpenning model.
I ain't letting it go. And then last night you get the kid for the Red Sox going a complete game on 4 days rest. He's never had more than 114 innings in any pro season, Tanner Huck. So,
well
4-1-2.
Last night, Bailey Falter was actually pitching reasonably well, right? And I think they pulled him after 7. He only had like 70-some pitches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. You know,
if you get late
into
pitches.
I know you get late into your bullpen though, and he was okay. He was decent.
I was going to say this. I thought one of the most interesting things about last night is that Derek. I mean, it was what 6-1 or whatever it was, and Shelton brought in Bednar.
who got rocked.
Right, but that tells you everything you need to know about where they really believe Bednar is. Even they can
Did Rowdy Tellez jump into his post-game scrum in case there were any critical questions? Well,
not, I don't know. I'm just saying. What I'm saying is, Joe's on a – you're on a heater here today.
I kind of like bitter. It. I'm bitter today.
Yeah, I kind of like it. But all I was trying to say was they obviously have concerns about Bednar. You know, and they're trying to get him work. They're trying to get him as much work as they could. Yesterday's game was a perfect chance. Low leverage situation. Game's probably already lost. Let's see what happens when we put him in there. Just see if we can get him an innings worth of work. And now probably there's more questions than answers about him. You know, the hope was that he went in there, got a three, you know, one, two, three. And then now this weekend against the Red Sox.
It was said if it was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 inning.
Yeah. Actually, he didn't even get through the inning. They had Fleming come in and clean it up. But my point is, I think one of the things they're worried about now is it's a one-run game on Saturday night, which I'm sure there's going to be a huge crowd there for the Red Sox. It's a one-run game in the ninth. Are you bringing Bednar in?
He is.
I'm just saying, are you?
Am I?
Are you? Or are you
yeah,
bringing...
at this point, I have to, because now Chapman's falling apart, too. So is the lineup. Everything's falling apart.
Again, baseball's a long season. I'm just saying...
That's the problem. I wish it had ended after 10 games. They would have won the pennant.
After watching that performance yesterday by Bednar.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, we'll get to that.
I'm not sure I'm bringing him in. I might bring him in the sixth or the seventh, but I'm not sure I'm using him as a closer this weekend.
We'll get to all of this. I wonder if people are still raging over what we saw two nights ago. And more to the point, a lot of you have been watching baseball forever. Maybe some of you coached. Maybe some of you played. There's so many theories out there of why we're seeing all these arm injuries. What's yours? You know, I hear people say too much work in the offseason, not enough. They start at a young age. They don't start fast enough at a young age. They throw too much at a young age. They don't throw enough to get their arms built up. It's crazy. Love to hear from you at 928-9370, 412-928-9370. It's off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of treats today, including our very own Jeff Hathorn, who I believe is over at Penguin's Locker Cleanout, which is happening right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What are we doing? We have one caller limits. You're telling me if you're a Pirates fan, you weren't outraged watching the game two nights ago? 412-928-9370. Or maybe you defend it, like Crowley and Dickerson did. Surely this aroused emotion in you the other night. I want to talk about this. I'm angry. So is Paul, although he always is. What, he just get coffee? This might only flame up the situation. Here we have coffee, we have donuts, and we have one caller, Paul, which now I'm doubly angry.
It's water, Joe.
If I were a fan watching that game the other night, I would have lost my mind. And I understand, like you, that we want to protect guys. I just don't think that this was anywhere near a sane, rational, reasonable way to do it. Let's go to our one caller, shall we, City Limits? Limits? Is Limits there? Am I on the air?
We're not even on. He left.
We're on.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Where are we?
Pay attention.
I'm trying on a lifeline here. I'm all the way in Monroeville.
A lot of people
are still
trying to call in for the tickets, the meat size.
What?
What's that?
Oh.
What happened?
Can you put the caller on?
Yes, here's Jack in West Mifflin.
Hey, Jack. What's up?
Hi, Joe. I'm going to talk about the pitch count. They have these guys on a pitch count. They should bring Skeens up and use Jones and Skeens in the same game. Give the bullpen a rest and get a few runs, and you pick up a win. As far as the arm injuries are concerned, I think you can trace that back to when they lowered the mound.
Back to when they lowered the mound.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a long time ago.
How did that contribute to arm injuries?
Pardon?
How did that contribute to arm injuries?
Because you're throwing from a flatter surface.
Well, let's go back to the pitch count. You said you want Skeens and Jones to pitch in the same game. Is that right?
Yes.
If tell
that's
me
the way they're going to use the pitch count, you know, 50 pitches.
I know, but the problem was it was an inning count, not a pitch count, which makes absolutely no sense. Were you angry watching the game the other night, Jack?
Yes.
Describe yourself. You're in your house watching the game. Did you yell at the TV? Did you pound your fist? What did you do?
I couldn't believe, you know, I thought we might have a 1-0 win, you know. But it turns out that they're giving games away.
That's the problem, isn't it? And
yes.
I was just mentioning this to a couple of people in the studio here, one of whom is my partner, Paul. That the actual, it was like the events of the actual professional sporting competition happening in front of us didn't matter. You know, like I just told Craig, who's here with us, if it were 7-0 Pirates, I would have way less of a problem with that. Okay, yeah, get him out. In fact, in a lot of situations, get him out to save innings. Either way, they're getting blown out or they're blowing somebody out.
Joe,
all right, it was 1-0. There was a sport, there was a game happening, a sporting event, and not an exhibition, right?
Right, but Joe, when you predetermine we're going to get him out after 5 innings, you basically are taking the sporting event out of the equation.
Right. And everybody was okay with it because nobody's calling.
Yeah. No.
Which really peeves me off.
Well,
I'll tell you that. 412-928-9370. 9370.
Well,
Limits, is anybody else calling? Because we're just going to move on if nobody cares.
People are calling to try to win the tickets, trying to decipher through the calls.
That happened an hour ago.
People want to go to the baseball game.
Paul put that out 30 minutes ago.
They want to meet Dice.
He'll buy beer at the base. Do you have a winner yet?
They want to meet me. Right?
You have a winner.
There's been a winner.
All right. Well, you're right. That probably interfered with calls. And I apologize.
But I think the larger part of the story is they're calling because they want to go to a game with me.
Of course they are.
I'm just teasing.
No, when people meet you, they're enthralled.
That's probably one word I would use.
When they met Ron, they cried.
When they met Ron, they were like...
No, when they went... Honestly, Ron was
a legend.
Like, Ron was a star.
He was a legend.
Anywhere we went, people would go up to him and say, I've been reading you for 40 years.
I met a woman yesterday who said she asked me, you know, how Ron is doing.
Yeah.
What's going on with him in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that basically she remembers reading him because she's a big, she's an older lady. She's a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
But that she has read Ron Cook all the way back to like the 80s. And then when he got on the show, and then of course she talked about how she didn't like Cook and Pony together because she thought that Pony was like a snot-nosed know-it-all and, you know, like and disrespectful to Ron. And I said, yeah, you're probably right about that. That's probably a good description, right?
Yeah. And that pairing sort of disappeared into the ether like any other at the fan.
Right.
Like nobody ever talks about it. Like it was a horrible time in our family.
Yes.
And we just will never mention it
again. Yes.
The Cook and Pony show.
Right. So
I think on the last day,
yes,
Cook wanted no part of saying goodbye or, you know, Pony saying goodbye. So they did a show for like
but that
3 years.
What she said.
And then on the last day, nobody said goodbye. It just ended.
That's what she said to me, though. She said she's a big fan of Ron going back to the 80s.
Yeah.
And then when he got on the radio, she thought it was the greatest thing until they paired him with Pony.
Yeah.
Because she said, and she used the phrase, Pony, he came off like a snot-nosed know-it-all who was disrespectful to Ron. I didn't see, like when older women, older ladies like start wagging the finger.
Wagging the finger, right?
She was like this and that. But then she said, then they paired him with Joe, and it was great.
We talked about this when you were sick the other day. I had an effect on Ron, and that's not bragging. I think it just happened like a chemical reaction. Yes. Ron is like a classic literary character or movie character like the Grinch or like Shrek,
yeah,
where he comes off very angry,
yes,
and unapproachable, but underneath, or like the Grinch who stole Christmas, underneath there's a heart, you know, 10 and a half sizes too big, but you got to get there,
yeah,
right?
Well, you did good, and then of course,
here's my point. I had an effect on Ron. And people the other day were wondering what kind of effect I'm going to have on you.
You already, just today, I actually was the voice of reason for once. I mean, just today, that's the effect you had on me, as you were able to push me to being the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Here's the best part. Then she brought up this story. She said, I do remember the one time it was really funny where Ron... I forget exactly what Ron like called somebody by the wrong name, and it was like a funny bit that you guys like play every so often.
Right,
the Ron Jeremy thing.
They for anything that did or didn't happen, Pony and Ron produced maybe the funniest moment in station history.
But here's the thing: I'm going to go one step further with this, though. This is what I really realized, Joe. Every so often, when you meet somebody like that,
like who?
You know, this older lady.
I mean,
when you meet somebody like that, you realize that we sort of become part of people's lives.
There's no doubt.
They feel kind of like they know us.
Yeah.
Even if they've never met us. And you know what? They listen to the banter. They listen to the, you know, back and forth. They know about, when I was sick or, you know, what all that stuff. I mean... I sometimes got to pinch myself because I don't think we fully appreciate that all the time. And not, I'm not trying to get all waxing poetic and, you know, sobbing.
You are crying, though.
I am.
No, but you're right. And you don't realize it. I don't realize it when we're in the studio, like right now we're at Studio Beam on Roseville,
right.
Awesome place. And we'll get people probably coming up and talking to us during the show today. And yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's hard to know the effect when it's just... Sometimes you feel enclosed in a studio, like, who's listening? A lot of people, except they're not calling. Are they City Limits?
They are now. A plethora of Pirates callers on the line. You fired them up.
And the one other thing I'll say real quick when we get the calls.
Yeah.
I over the last month, have gotten this question more than ever.
Yeah.
What's Joe like?
That's a complicated question.
Like?
And I'm what do you
like,
say?
I say he's great. He's fun. It's like he's maybe the one guy at the station that is just as warped as I am. That's why it works. That's why it works.
I appreciate that, I think.
Yes.
Limits, let's go to the callers now.
Here's Ryan in Altoona.
What up?
Guys, great show, Joe. I was physically mad at the game the other night. My face turned red, threw the remote across the floor. There's about 5 games a year that the Pirates do this kind of stuff where you're ready to turn the game off. Nolan Ryan probably would be, you know, laughing at this. His warm-up was 59 pitches. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. Then they strike out 13 times, looking at strike 3 down the middle many times. And it's like, as a fan, you're like, this is what's going to keep us from a wild card game, this kind of crap.
Man, there has to be, there obviously is, that somewhere retrievable for striking out looking. They have to lead the league. They have to. They're second to the Dodgers in strikeouts, but they're not up there with the Dodgers in homers. And if you can't offset all these strikeouts with some power, we appreciate the call. Man, you're going nowhere offensively either.
And I think that's part of it. You know, it's funny. A few years ago, the problem was They swung at too many pitches. They weren't patient enough. Now it kind of they're on the opposite end of that, where they're watching pitches that they should be swinging at.
And even Shelton said that the other day about Cruz. Like, before he gets to two strikes, he's passing up drivable pitches.
Right.
And that's infuriating. And then this could be part of the topic, is how exactly you physically reacted to the Jones situation. So far, we have a man throwing a remote. Who's next, Limits?
Next up, we go to Dan in Upper St. Clair.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. Good show. I appreciate your anger, because I am just equally as angry at the fact that they're not trying to win games. They come out and say that they want to play meaningful games in September, but show zero effort in trying to win the games that matter in March, April, May. It's they treat the beginning of the year like their spring training, and it just disgusts me.
I mean, they do, to be fair to them, they got off to a good start this year, but I think you kind of have to argue it was Marlins and Nationals and 5-0,
exactly.
And since then, they're 6-8. Did you throw anything? What was your reaction? Swear? What?
I had to stop myself because my children were in the room, but then I had to also explain to them that they're not.
That never stopped me, by the way, but go ahead. That never stopped me, but go ahead.
Yeah, I literally had to sit down to my 8-year-old son and tell him, this is not how you would play baseball in Little League. This is ridiculous. They're not trying to win. They're not a real baseball team.
Thank you, sir.
I don't think it's necessarily that they're treating them like these games are like spring training. I mean, I think they really want to win. I think that what happens in the first month and a half gets magnified, because it's when most people are paying most attention to the Pirates. Unfortunately for them, you know, and hopefully this is the year it changes, after the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they sort of make themselves irrelevant.
Yeah.
But they make these kinds of decisions all the way through, you know, all the way through the season. They make these kind of decisions. And so it's not just about it being April or May or whatever. I guarantee you, in August and September, there will be games where there's pitch count, you know, real strict pitch counts for Skeens and Jared Jones. There might even be, you know, we're going to skip a start for them, whatever. It's just how they do things, and it can be frustrating.
I got a text from somebody who I don't even know. It's Mark from Sarver. Do you know him? Is he a golfer? He texted my personal line.
He could be. Maybe you met him on the golf course, Joe, and gave him your number.
I apologize, Mark. For some reason, you're not ringing a bell with me, but I'm glad that you texted me. He said he tried to call in. The line was busy. He said, Joe, I'm so glad you brought up the Jared Jones subject. I've been a Pirate fan since 1966, and like you, I'm furious about this. Yanking pitchers while pitching shutouts has been has been my biggest baseball pet peeve for years. Mark from Sarver. There you go. Let's go back to the lines. Limits. Who do we have?
We have Brad in Johnstown.
Hi, Brad.
Oh, hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. You two are two of my favorite hosts on the station. So I'm glad
to get
the call.
Who's your favorite, though? You said two of your favorites. Who's your single favorite host? Mulsey?
Well, I got to throw Pomp in there, too.
That's not Mulsey.
Yeah, you guys are a great trifecta. So, no. Honestly, my reaction is I'm new at this point. I'm 41, so I've been at least 35-ish years I can remember. And you know, I like what the previous caller said about them talking about wanting to play meaningful games in September. Well, what about the meaningful games in April?
So, I'm glad you brought that up, because I just heard Mike Sullivan talking about how well his team played against Nashville and how great they ended the season and how it's different than last year. And in the biggest game of the year, they played their best game. Somebody should tell Sully that the games are kind of big in October and November, too. And that's what I would say about this game the other night.
The biggest thing with the Penguins is the games in February were important.
Yeah, all of them tend to be.
When they didn't play very well.
Go ahead. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. But yeah, there's no bonus points in April. So, I just don't think this team's really serious about winning. If financially it's to their benefit to keep these guys healthy, some way they'll do it. I mean, there's been moves. I think it was Montgomery. There's
actually
some other guys.
I would disagree with that. I would disagree with that, and I appreciate the call. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I hate for it to sound like really callous on my part, but to me, these guys are like NFL running backs in that, I hate to phrase it this way, you use them while you can.
Throw their arm off and then let them move on.
You're paying them. They're here to win, and you're probably – if Paul Skeens and the way Jones looks, do you really think that they're going to be – that they're going to sign $200, right. $300 million contracts?
They're not.
You have them for a limited amount of time. Use them.
Six seasons, right? Basically, yeah. Six seasons. And you have them 6 seasons when
if
they're
that,
young.
Because with Cole, you'd start talking right. about trading him before that.
Right, but you have when they're youngest and theoretically at their healthiest, you have them. Right? And entering their prime. So if you think about it, you should just basically throw their arms off because you're not going to sign them if you're the Pirates. If you're the Yankees or the Dodgers and you got a guy like Paul Skeens and he does what we think he's going to do
yeah.
4 or 5 years, yeah, you're probably going to give him $300 million.
I mean, at least use them reasonably.
Right.
I'm not saying abuse them.
No.
And I wouldn't say the same about a running back, but use them reasonably. And like, if you're in a close game, maybe try to win that game.
That's what I always say. That's the one thing I always said about running backs. To me, if there's this thought you shouldn't ever pick one in the first round because you're not going to get the long-term, you know, and blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. You draft a guy in the first round. You're looking for his first 4 or 5 years, right? You're looking for his first 4 or 5 years that you win something significant with that guy. So, to me, you can get the fifth-year option, and if you need another transition year, you can have a running back for 6 years without ever really committing that long-term big contract, and then you move on from it, just like these pitchers. But
Paul Skeens has so many 100-mile-an-hour pitches in that arm, this season and all seasons. Why is he throwing them for the Indianapolis Triple-A
team?
Well,
I mean, again, the other part of it is, this thing where you have to preserve every single day of service time, right? And try and get every single day of pre-arbitration and arbitration years and all that. It's to me the greatest fallacy in baseball because those guys never actually get, you know, they trade them before they get to that extra year or that last year.
Right.
It's not like, well, you know, if we hold them down in the minors till, you know, June 1st, we're going to have him in 2000, you know, we're going to have 2035, you know, he'll be under control. Yeah, but he won't be on your team. So what is the difference? That's my, but again, this is one of the things that needs to be made clear here. This is not unique to the Pirates. This is baseball in general.
It's not, but 59 pitches in the middle of a historical start is unique to the Pirates.
I get it, but I would be willing to bet this. There are still some teams that do it the old school way. There are still some teams with different philosophy, but the Pirates are probably in line with probably like 75-80% of the league in terms of how they do these things. So it's just the way baseball is and is going.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.